Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. Before I introduce this morning's speakers, I want to again thank you for being flexible and patient with us as we transition TMR to a virtual platform. I am now honored to introduce this morning's speakers, Dustin Zarni and Michelle Sardo. Dustin M. Zarni is a longtime political activist in Syracuse, New York. He quickly became known as a behind-the-scenes political operative specializing in GOTV. He has been serving as Onondaga County's election commissioner for the Democratic Party since January 1, 2013. In January of 2015, he was appointed as the legislative committee chair for the New York State Elections Commission Association, where he lobbied for election law changes on behalf of his fellow commissioners throughout the state. In 2020, Zarni is focusing his efforts on expanding voting reforms in New York State, continuing his work on nonpartisan independent redistricting, and running an efficient and robust set of elections at the Onondaga County Board of Elections. During the COVID-19 crisis, he was a leading voice in how to adjust New York's electoral system and to adjust to an unprecedented amount of absentee voting during the June primary and to prepare for the November 2020 election. Previously, he served for over 11 years as an administrator for the city of Syracuse. He served as city collections manager, special projects coordinator at the Department of Public Works, and director of the Parking Violations Bureau. Michelle Sardo is the Republican Elections Commissioner with Onondaga County. Michelle has been with the Elections Board for almost 20 years. For 12 years, she was the Administrative Assistant to Helen Kiggins, who is the Republican Commissioner. Then in 2012, Michelle was appointed to the Director of Administration until 2016, when she was appointed to the Commissioner of Elections following the retirement of Helen Kiggins. Please join me in welcoming this morning's speakers, Dustin and Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us today. We know there's a lot of questions that people have about the elections. And so we're gonna do a short presentation talking about five different things. The first thing would be how the Board of Elections has dealt with the COVID crisis over this year. And then going into the absentee balloting, which is a direct result of the COVID crisis and the expansive use of absentees, voter registration deadlines coming up next week, and early voting and election day voting. So we're gonna kind of tag team this back and forth. I just wanna say the COVID crisis has upended everything to do with elections. We've had to deal with changing election laws maybe daily, especially in March and April, changing the way we've had to do elections. We had an election that was canceled and moved and then canceled again and then re-put back on in the presidential primary for the Democratic presidential primary. We've had special elections that were moved and then canceled. And of course, then we had to figure out how to have a highly communal event in-person voting during a raging pandemic that New York was hit so hard by in March and April. And also while trying to keep our inspector pool safe, and of course our regular employees as well. So we've had to adjust quite a bit this year. The first thing we had to do was we had to get out of about 21 polling places that were nursing homes or senior housing facilities. This is something that we had to do because these places were closed down and we had to make the decision for the entire year back in February, not knowing what the pandemic would look like and not knowing how these people would be able to vote. But we couldn't bring the public into those buildings. So we made that decision early and it turned out to be the right one. And now with the expanded use of absentees, that the people in these facilities are able to vote in the safety of their own homes without us introducing the public into their buildings. And also we found polling places near them, or as close as possible anyways. So that was one of the first things that we had to do. Michelle, would you like to add to what the things that we had to do this spring, the nightmare we had to go through?
Outside of putting all of that stuff together that Dustin had just said, we had to make sure that our staff and training, we had to move our training that we had, and that usually takes place in the spring. We had to move all of our inspector training to the fall to train them for the general election coming up. The absentees that we had to get out, as he spoke of, the ones we had to do that you had to, we had to send them out for everybody eligible to vote for the primary, which was what, almost 60,000. And then we had 25,000 come back. So we had to have those counted in a timely manner. And we had to move on to certify that election and get ready for the November election, which was the cutoff day for registration. So we are backed up now with registration, and we are getting absentees in like maybe 1,000 to 2,000 a day, depending on the day. But we're catching up and we're doing our best, and we have a fantastic staff that is right behind us.
Yeah, I forgot about the mailer that we had to do in, actually had two massive mailers that were thrown on us by the state government that had to happen, one for the primary, one for the general. And we really had weeks of, maybe not even a couple of weeks of notice that we had to do. The one for the primary, where we mailed absentee ballot applications to every voter that was eligible. It was actually 130,000 voters that were eligible for that.
Oh, it was 130,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then 26,000 took advantage of that. And then in September, we had to do a mailing out to every household in Onondaga County, which ended up being about 230,000 households, giving them a postcard that detailed all of the new changes, how they can apply for absentees, how they can register to vote. And we didn't really, I think we had 10 days notice on that. I think the governor gave us a 10 whole days.
I didn't even know it was 10 days.
Yeah, and to get that done and out. And we've been able to do this by using a lot of grant money. We had a lot of grant money saved up. We got the federal CARES grant money in February, but that was pretty much used up mostly in the primary. We have shoebox money saved up. We were saving them, that shoebox money, for a rainy day, and it's raining. This is the year to do that. Yeah. But also we were hoping to use that money eventually to replace our fleet of voting machines that come off of warranty at the end of 2021. At this point, we really had no choice with the county budget situation the way it was. We had to use the grant money that we could use this year for expanded use, buying more equipment to help us deal with all of this stuff that we're doing now, like a second absentee scanner, and poll prints that are going to help us deal with larger polling sites on election day, since we've consolidated some of the polling sites, and also we're using some of that shoebox money for the mailings and the postage that we're doing now because of the federal crisis. And then, of course, Michelle, you want to talk about the CTC grant that you applied for and got for us?
Yes, the state sent out to all of us commissioners a grant for the CTCL grant, the Technology and Civic Life grant. So I applied for it, and we received it back last week, and it was a $280,000 plus grant that can be used for this election. So we have to use it up by the end of the year, and we've decided to, it can pay for the overtime for our staff and also the overtime for our temps that we have here, which are, I think we hired 10 of them, Dustin? Around 10 of them.
Not
including the inspectors.
Six. Yeah, we have 10 inspectors that are out doing, we'll talk about that when we do absentees.
They're stuffing in the back,
stuffing envelopes. But then we also have six more temps that are, no, I'm sorry,
eight, or 10?
10. It's 8. It's 8. Yeah, we've had a lot of changes this year. This has been one of those things that Michelle and I didn't know what we were going to have to do each week when we came into the office, and sometimes each day. And we've worked really well together to identify the problems and figure out which one of us is going to solve which crisis and then go about in doing it. And the staff has been incredible. I want to show you a couple pictures of something that happened yesterday, just to kind of highlight how great our staff is. So yesterday when we came into the office, we had a power outage. And on top of all the COVID, on top of all the things that we had to deal with, right outside of our building here, the power had snapped. This pole had snapped in half, and the county came down and gave us a generator, so we got up and running within an hour. But before we could do that, we were in the dark, going through and sorting through and getting ready to go once the crisis was over, once we got on power. But even once we got on power, then because of where this pole was, it was right at the beginning of our driveway, trucks were starting to come in from National Grid and the generator and everything like that, blocking people from coming in. And one of the things that we've had is so many people coming in to drop off their absentee ballots or get absentee ballots in person. So we set up a curbside absentee drop-off so people could drop off the absentees. And we even brought voter registration forms out there. And so people were driving by because they couldn't come into the office. Either the power was off or the trucks were blocking the view. So our staff is incredible.
They're amazing. And it's always interesting. Always interesting working here. Yeah. There's always something.
and they were the ones doing a lot of this, on their own. It's amazing. While we were dealing with the power, they were dealing with the customers, and it was great. I guess what I'll get into now is absentee balloting. This is obviously the thing that has changed the most when it comes to our Board of Election functions. With a raging pandemic, the governor, through a series of executive orders, and the legislature through a series of acts, has made it so anybody who wants to get an absentee can get an absentee now by choosing the temporary illness function on the absentee ballot application and using COVID-19 as an excuse, because now risk of pandemic spread of a disease is now an acceptable excuse in New York. In New York, we do need an excuse to vote absentee. We are not one of those states where it's no fault, no excuse. 34 other states are like that. But with this pandemic crisis, it really made every voter in New York eligible to get an absentee. And what has that done? Well, we are now anticipating that about 260,000 people will vote in Onondaga County out of 300,000 for this presidential election. We expect well over 100,000 of those votes to come by absentee. In fact, yesterday, the numbers were we've already had 43,000 applications, and we are still 33 days away from the election. We're getting 2,000 or so applications a day. They're starting to pick up. And one of the reasons is because we made it easier to apply for your absentee. I'm going to show you something right now. This is our website, onvote.net. And it really is a great website. We've worked with our IT department to request an absentee. You can go right online to our portal, So it's right up here at the top of the website. Click here to check your voter registration. You can check your voter registration. You can get your polling place, but you can apply for an absentee ballot online. And this goes right to the New York State Board of Elections, has this portal right here.
Dustin, we're not seeing it. Sorry.
Hold on. I may have done the wrong screen here. Hold on. Share screen. Screen two. Is that it? You got it now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is, all right, let me go back then. This is our website, onvote.net. And right at the top of the website, you have several different options that are make it much easier for you to do absentee balloting and checking your voter registration. But right here, this click here to apply your absentee ballot online. You get to our state board website, and you can select the county that you're in. And I'll do me, for example, Onondaga, and you can put in your name, your date of birth, and your zip code. And it actually shows me that I've already applied for an absentee because I'm an election worker. So the system already sees that I've already applied, but you would be able to put that in. And if you don't get this screen, you would get another screen that would allow you to fill out your information online like you would on your regular absentee ballot application. It would get emailed to us within a couple hours. We get it three times a day. We would then process it and mail you out a ballot based on this online portal application. And it really is a wonderful way for us to get your information out to you. But if we go back here on our regular website, you can actually look up your absentee ballot status for the first time. This has been something that people have wanted to do because they're afraid that the application doesn't get to us or that the ballot doesn't come back. I'm going to do my wife. She might be a little mortified that I'm going to end up putting her birth date on the website here. So don't hold it against me, Heather. So my wife, I had her test out this system, and she, so I got to remember her birthday. There we are. All right. So, and if you type in your initials and your status, you can see here that we got my wife's absentee ballot application, and it says right here an absentee ballot was issued on 9/18, and within a day or two of that, that's when we have put it in the mail. Now, when she mails it back and we receive it, it will then say that we received her ballot back. She has not decided whether she wants to vote absentee or not. And yet you can still do absentee ballot applications the old-fashioned way. You can do it through our website by printing up a form or emailing us or calling us at 315-435-VOTE. The deadline to request an absentee is October 27th. Now, the post office, that's by mail or in person. The post office has said that if you are planning to mail an application to us, you should do that no later than October 20th. And really, I'm asking people to do it now. Do it today. Because we can get this ballot out to you, and you can decide whether you want to vote absentee or go in person and vote on early voting or election day. And you can even decide that after you send the absentee ballot in. New York state law allows you to change your mind and go and vote in person even after you submit an absentee. And that is why we cannot count absentees until after election day, because we have to wait to see if you vote in person. So obviously, this has caused a lot of absentees to be sent out. Here's a picture of our first batch of absentees that we moved out into for the general election. I think our first batch was somewhere around 15 to 20,000. We've now already mailed 43,000 absentees since September 18th. We've done that with the help of our election inspector pool. That's my ladies again, sorry. Our election inspector pool, we have 10 election inspectors that are coming in on a daily basis. We're using our warehouse space. They're 6 feet apart. It may not look like that in the picture, but they are. We measured it out, and they're back there putting together the absentee ballot mailers every day that we get in. We had the option of using a vendor to do this or doing it in-house. We felt it was cheaper to do it in-house, and also we had better control of it. And if you see what's happening down in New York City with the vendor that they chose and 100,000 absentees were labeled and sent wrong, that is one of the reasons why we wanted to avoid that. We wanted the responsibility and also the ability to control it and know if there was an issue that we would have to solve it. Now, I talked about how we have to wait until after Election Day to count these absentees. I have a picture from June from when we were counting absentees for the presidential primary. I think we had 9 tables going to open up the 26,000 absentees that we got in the June primary. It took us 4 days to get through. But with 100,000 absentees and a lot more pressure to deliver results quicker, after the November election, because we have to be certified by December 1st. We're planning on having 20 teams available. So that warehouse space that we had and also our training space will be filled with absentee teams going through, opening them. And we also have a second scanner that will scan all our absentees because we want to be certified by December 1st. Michelle, you want to weigh in on anything I might have missed on absentees?
No, I think you covered it all, other than just if anybody's going to vote absentee, do it now. Do it early, because we want to make sure we have everything that we need when we're ready to count these ballots. So if you have a question and you can't find that you sent your absentee application in, call us.
So we'll take questions about absentees a little bit later. Michelle, you want to talk about voter registration, how people can apply, what the deadlines are for that?
Yeah, you're going to bring the page up.
I'll bring the screen right back up here.
Okay. Next Friday, October 9th is the last day to register. And it is also the last day that you can change your party. You got it. You can go on the DMV website. You can register there. You can request an application through our website. Also the DMV is down how to register my DMV. And then the voter application request. And that you can change your address, and we have to receive your address change by October, what was it? October 9th, I believe. No, I'm sorry.
It's October 14th.
October 14th, thank you. So that's just for address changes only. But if you're gonna decide to change your party, you have to do it by next Friday, and it has to be in our office by next Friday. And then you can't change your party after that until after February 14th of 2021.
Commissioner, they actually have till February 14th of 2021 to change their party.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. That, yes.
That's so a brand new party. Yes.
And
rule
after
this
that,
year.
It's not yep. until 7 days after the election. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, it's a brand new
There's
rule
so many
this
days
year.
Trying to remember everything.
Yeah.
With this changes. Yes, we do. If you look up to see your voter registration, if you click on there and you look up your voter registration, and if you can't find it, please call our office. We are backlogged around about 9,000. We're trying to process them daily. There's a lot to do. So, but please call us or just give us a little time so we can process all of this, because there is a lot, and it's coming in about 1,000 a day between the mail and the DMV website.
If you do look up your voter registration, it will show you your polling location place. And a Google map of your polling location, as well as your voter district information, so you can find out which election district that you're in, which Senate district, Assembly district, Legislative district. And also it'll tell you, you can select an early voting place. You do not have to select one in our, we'll talk about that in a second, but it'll give you directions to the early voting place that is closest to you and the time.
And the hours and days that we're open.
Although we noticed that the times are wrong and we're having state update those times because they are wrong. We found that out yesterday. This is not our website. This is a state board website.
Right.
I don't know.
Those were the times for the primary, weren't they? Or last year? Those were last year's times.
Those were last year's times. We actually changed it for the primary. I don't know why they have that on there. We found that out yesterday and we're getting it changed. But it's right on our website, which I always say, go to our website and go to onvote.net. We have all the most correct information on there. Yep. Do you think there's anything else about voter registration, Commissioner, that we haven't covered? They can apply online through DMV. They can get a form. They can come into our office. But that all has to be done by October 9th and postmarked by October 9th if you're mailing it in.
And if you're coming into our office and you are not registered to vote yet, you can come into our office and do not want to go to the polls. You can also register to vote and fill out your absentee while you're here. You can vote here on the same day.
And if you're doing it by mail, you can send in an absentee ballot application with your voter registration form.
Correct. Yes.
You won't be able to use the portal if you're not registered to vote or not have your registration processed. So, you know, we hope to have, we're behind on absentee applications by about a couple thousand, but we're behind on voter registrations. Mainly not because we're behind, but because voter registration itself was behind. Because of the COVID crisis, voter registration just did not happen over the spring and most of the summer. This is all coming in late. And DMVs were closed. Voter registration drives weren't happening. And that's why we've hired extra staff to try to get on top of this. We planned on being done by October 15th. On October 9th is the cutoff, so we won't get any more new in. See, we're kind of treading water with the new stuff that is coming in. We process as much as we can throughout a day, but we're not biting into the backlog because we're adding 2,000 more forms a day. On the weekends, we bite in a little bit, but then we get a big shot on Monday when we come back. So on October 9th, we'll stop getting more new ones in, or they'll trickle in over the next couple of days, and we'll really spend that whole week getting through this. We have to be done before early voting starts, and really conceivably before October 20th is we have to be caught up so we can start programming our early voting books. We usually get 20,000 extra registered voters in a presidential year. We started this year at 288,000. We are now up to 300,000 voters. And a lot of that has been added over the last, 30 to 40 days. And I think we're going to break the record of 2004, which was 307,000 registered voters. Well, the record going back to 1996. So that's the data I have. So we could be challenging that record by the time we're done here today. Commissioner, you got anything else on registration, or I'll just go into early voting real quick?
No, we can go into early voting.
All right. So early voting, it started last year and we had it during the primary as well. We have 6 early voting sites in Onondaga County. We actually had a site change that I think has made our early voting plan that much better this year. Our sites are Clay Town Hall, Armin Magnarelli Center, Camillus Fire Station is the new site. It moved down from Van Buren Town Hall. Syracuse Communication Connections, or the Southwest Community Center, DeWitt Town Hall, and Lafayette Fire Station number 1. So this really gives us a nice spread of early voting sites. We have our north site, our west site, our east site, our south site, and one in the north side of Syracuse and one in the south side of Syracuse, or closer to the south side as you can. Finding early voting sites is hard. You can't just put it in any site. They have to be able to have traffic. They have to be able, to be open for the full 9 days of early voting. You can't just have a site open for 2 days or move it around. So we stuck with the 6 site plan this year, and so if you're really worried about lines on election day but want to vote in person, early voting is a good option for you. We've had early voting was underutilized during the primary and underutilized during the general election. Although I will say that we had 8,000 people vote in last year's general election on early voting. That's about 8% of the electorate that actually ended up turning out to vote. So it was, pretty good for the first year. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be much bigger this year. I know a lot of people have said that they're going to choose early voting. We adjusted the hours. The hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sundays and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and noon to 8 on Tuesday and Wednesday. We tried to do a 7 a.m. early voting, and that was really, the 7 a.m. hours when we did it were really underutilized. So we are doing it this way this year because we heard from people that they really wanted to be able to do early voting on their drive homes. And so we have more hours after 4 o'clock for people to do that. And of course the lunch hours. So we're staying open a little later for them. And we think that this hours of operation will be better for the voters. Well, now who can vote in early voting? Anybody can vote in early voting, and you can vote anywhere.
They can vote at any of those sites.
Yep. So if you're working inside the city of Syracuse and driving by the Armin Magnarelli site on your way home, you can vote there, or even if you live in Lafayette. This is something that what early voting was designed to do. We were one of the counties last year that out of the gate did this. And now virtually every county except for the city of New York, and I think maybe Rensselaer County, has early voting sites that everybody uses inside the county. Now, if you live over the county line and you're in Onondaga County, you will not be able to early vote. So if you're traveling in from Oswego to work inside the city of Syracuse, you still got to go vote in Oswego. We get that question a lot, and sometimes we have people stop by, and we let them know. But this also comes up, in Bridgeport, where somebody might, move over the river while they're in their new county. So you can do affidavits during early voting. So if you're an inactive voter, say our rolls show that you've moved and you didn't update your address, you can vote by affidavit during early voting. And if you miss the voter registration deadline and you don't get registered to vote, or you believe you should have been registered to vote, you can get a court order during early voting as well. So early voting is just like Election Day, except it happens for 9 days before Election Day. And you can go to any site, and we have printers on demand that will print up the ballot that is in your neighborhood using our poll pads, and that is the ballot that you will vote on.
We'll have more poll prints out on Election Day also at various sites. We had bought more through a grant, more poll pads. I'm sorry, not poll pads, poll prints.
Poll prints, yeah. And those poll prints are really efficient because no longer do we have to print up a ton of extra ballots that we end up storing and then throwing out after 2 years.
Less waste for paper.
So we'll have 34 sites on Election Day that will have poll prints out of our 156 Election Day sites. But that's a good segue. Michelle, why don't you talk about Election Day?
Well, Election Day, we're open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And all of the polling places are open outside of the ones that we had to remove ourselves from. The, what was it, 20 of them?
22.
22 of them from the senior livings and the nursing homes, which I don't foresee us going back to them in the future. I think that we are trying to avoid them just to keep those residents safe. Dustin's going through the changes and the polling place list that we have, and this is on our website also. And if there was a change, it's on there. You can look up your polling place. And I believe your ballot, isn't the ballot up there, Dustin?
It is. I'm going to bring
your
it up right now.
Your sample ballot's up there. Also, while he's typing this in, I just want to let you know, it is safe to go vote in person. We have inspectors that are making sure everybody is 6 feet apart, cleaning up after every voter, wiping things down. We will have all the PPE stuff at every polling place. And
so yeah, if you wanted to look up,
doing a great job. Did you pull up your ballot?
Yeah, here it is right here. So this is our sample ballot finder on our website. A lot of people want to see their sample ballot. It's much better when you print it up than on my screen here. You can look up your polling place on our website and type in your information. And then also you can click and get your sample ballot. So you can take a look at that before you get to the polling place on election day. Mm-hmm. You can print it out and or view it on your screen. It's a PDF. So it's tied to every voter what your individual ballot will be. And again, this is something else that we've worked with IT and to get on our website. And I'm going to do a little humble brag. This website is one of the better Board of Elections websites out there that people can get the information that they need. In addition to checking your voter registration, all these four things up here that people use the most, but you can even get statistics going back to 2009 or in some cases 1996 on our statistics page. You can find past voting results on the website. We have results going back again to 2009, I think, on the election results. 2009. That's what I had ready available to me when we were doing this. And also you can find out, you can get maps for different things, and you can get our press releases, any kind of information that we give to candidates, caucus notices. We endeavor to put as much on the website as possible so you don't have to call us. Not that we don't like hearing from you, but it's easier for you to get that information. And also sometimes our phone lines get busy on election day especially, and so people can go and do that. Now I always say use our website. Don't go to other websites. They will have wrong polling place information. They may not have the stuff that we just updated. They may have stuff from a year ago. They may send you to the wrong place. And we always get complaints, well, this other site sent us somewhere. And I say, well, why didn't you use our site? And because they Googled something like voter registration and went to the first link. We made it very simple to get to us, onvote.net. You can get all of your information from us there, or giving us a call at 315-435-VOTE. Commissioner, do you have anything else, or should we start taking questions?
No, I think we should start getting questions. I was reading some of the questions that are up here now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm seeing them come in, so I'm just gonna start from the top and we'll go from there. So I believe you answered this, but if someone hasn't received their absentee ballot, should they just go on and check the status of it, or should they call you? Or
yes, they should absolutely
check the status of it.
Yeah,
and then check if they could call us if it's been a few days, they can give us a call.
So the absentee ballot tracker is new. We update it once a day with our data, which sometimes means that it may be 24 to 48 hours behind, depending on when we process an absentee ballot application. So give it a couple days. So if you drop off the ballot on a Friday afternoon and you're calling me on Monday morning, well, it hasn't been updated on the website yet. So, yeah. So give it about 48 hours. But if it's, more than the time that you think it should be to have gotten to us, that's why we have that on there. We want you to figure it out and then call us.
Okay. Next question. When will you start counting absentees? Will absentee votes dropped off at early voting locations or on election day be counted on election day or before other mail-in absentees?
So
we're going to start counting absentees the Monday after election. I believe it's November 9th. Because we have to, by governor's order, have to have everything to the state board 48 hours after election. We have to make sure that the affidavits are all completed, and we have to make sure the absentee counts are good and all the absentees are all logged in. We have to have that to state by 48 hours. And then we will start counting, opening and counting the Monday after election. The votes as far as that are dropped off on election day, no absentee or affidavit will be counted on election day. We have to have everything processed because we have to make sure that that voter didn't vote in person on election day.
Yeah, and also, so the ballots that are dropped off on election day or dropped off at our site or done by mail, they're not going to be counted ahead of anything else that we count. They all get sorted into election districts. We have to do a cure process on everything. And then on that Monday, the 9th, is when we count all absentee ballots. And we start counting, and we will release daily unofficial counts as we scan them through, so we can kind of start giving people ideas of what's coming in. Right. But we will start with the city of Syracuse because that's Ward 1, and we'll have 20 tables going. So that'll go Ward 1 through 19, plus the town of Camillus. And then as soon as a table is done with whatever ward or town they're in, they'll get the next town that's alphabetically up until we're done. It'll probably take us about a week to open all the absentees, because we'll have candidates in there to watch us doing it. And it'll probably take us 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on how much we get and how slow the process is with the candidates who might object on stuff. We'll be done. We'll get that done in 10 days if we're not interfered with. If we're interfered with or we get court orders, it could drag that out.
All right, next question. So in the debate on Tuesday, President Trump asked his supporters to be poll watchers. How are you prepared to deal with potential violence on election day?
Well, I want to be very clear. I don't believe there will be potential violence on election day. We had the same type of fervor in 2016 that we had in 2020. And outside of some isolated incidents, there was not this fear. President Trump, in that statement, Commissioner Sardo and I have already discussed it. We're in agreements. People have to follow the poll watching system that we have in place. We have a poll watcher certificate. It has to be signed by a candidate or
the party chair.
The county chair. There was an article in the paper this morning about, or it's on Syracuse.com anyways, there is no plans for increased poll watching from the local campaigns. But that being said, we know where our polling sites are. The law enforcement community knows where our polling sites are. Yes. We'll be working with them to make sure that that they know to respond to any call we have. We have security procedures in place and bipartisan election officials in every polling site already with our inspector teams that will make sure that not only is there no voter fraud, but that the voters themselves have a peaceful place to cast their votes.
Thank you. If someone were to be placed into 2 weeks of quarantine right before the election and they had not requested an absentee ballot, what recourse would they have?
They would be able to, a family member could come down, they could write a letter, they could print an absentee off of the absentee application off of our website and say, please mail ballot or give ballot to, and that person can come. As long as that voter gives that person authorization to pick up their ballot, they can do that and bring them their ballot and have them vote it. And they can either, when they go in to vote, they can drop it off at their polling place or they can come back to our office and return it or mail it.
So,
and it's only one stamp.
Yeah.
It only has one stamp to mail it back.
Right. One stamp. October 27th is the deadline to mail an application, but you can do an application in person. Yep. And the commissioners have ability to accept things past that deadline because of medical conditions. We've done that in the past. So, I mean, the easiest way would be to have somebody deliver an application to us and give them a ballot so they can bring it back to you at that later date if it's after October 27th, mm-hmm. because you still have to postmark it by election day, which is a new thing. We didn't touch on this. I didn't touch on this during absentees. Absentees have to be returned by November 3rd or postmarked by November 3rd. And we have till November 10th to receive them. It used to be the day before election day, it has to be postmarked, but that's a new law change this year. that the day of Election Day is the postmark deadline now.
All right, thank you. Would you comment on the steps or measures to secure voting results? Are the results truly secured? Who can open up ballots and examine them, and under what conditions are the results opened?
So yes, the results are truly secure. Let's start with election night results. So all of the machines that are in early voting or in on election day have memory cards in them, two sets of memory cards. For early voting, both those memory cards each day are delivered back by Board of Election personnel in a sealed bag and delivered to the Board of Elections after every early voting. We then account for them and put them in our double locked ballot room. So you'd have to have two keys to open up.
And just then one Democrat, on election one night, Republican key.
Yep, Democrat, Republican, always bipartisan. On election night, the election machines have two memory cards in it, and we have one memory card returned to us and one memory card stays in the machine and sealed. Those machines are then transported back after election day. And after we report the initial unofficial results, remember anything we report on election night is unofficial, we do an audit of those machines and we compare the results from the card that was returned to us to the card that stayed inside the machine, so we know that it is the exact results. With absentee ballots, then also with all election night and early voting results, we have a 3% random hand audit that we have to hand count ballots to make sure that the machines themselves were properly counting the ballots that were done there. And that's in addition to our pre-election testing, where we test the machines to make sure that they are counting ballots correctly before we put them out in the field. Then on absentee balloting, all the ballots that are delivered are received by a bipartisan team. They're reviewed by a bipartisan team and sometimes the commissioners themselves before any determination on initial rejection happens. If an initial rejection happens, a cure letter will be sent out to the voter, giving them their opportunity. This is a brand new process this year, an opportunity to cure the process by election day. So if they send it in now, they have till election day, and if they send it in or 7 days after we make a determination, whichever is earlier or later, I'm sorry. So this process is starting this week. We've got about 50 of our 7,000 ballots that are back that we probably will have to send cures out on, and then they just have to sign a form and send it back to us, and that usually resolves the cure. The bipartisan teams review that, then they're opened in front of the candidates themselves or their representatives on that after election day, and then they're scanned through the machine and counted with a bipartisan team doing the scanning, and then after that we do a 3% audit of the absentees as well. So results are secure, they're accurate, they're fair, and I have no worries about us reporting the results. Even when we had that 45-minute delay last year, we had the results in. It was just translating it up to the website. So
it was all new to us last year because of the early voting, trying to push early voting votes in and also push election day votes in. So it was bogged down.
Yeah, but it's been fixed. It worked perfectly during the primary. Yeah. And ironically now, though, you may have to wait a couple of weeks for final results because of the absentee balloting. Okay.
So we've got a question. So just to be clear, you are checking absentee against polling place books. How long will that take? What is the expectation of final results based on this double checking?
That's actually the easiest part of our job, is deciding whether somebody voted on election day or absentee. Because of our electronic poll books, we get a pretty quick voter history. We can have that within 24 hours after the election. And we upload it, and we have a program that we run and double check any absentee ballot turned in against voter history, and it produces a result. And again, these aren't people trying to vote twice. That is the law. You can do this. In the primary election, we had 70 people out of the 26,000 vote on election day who had already turned in their absentees. This is something that has been, you know, commonplace for a while. It's just that the scale of it wasn't as big. We would have 4,000 absentees and we'd have like 10 people do that. And that is the law. The Constitution says that, the New York State Constitution says that if you can vote in person, if your circumstances change, you're supposed to go vote in person, and then we pull your absentee. So we expect more this year. I think a lot of people have said that they are planning on putting in an absentee because they don't know what the virus is going to look like in late October, or whether they're going to get quarantined, or whether they're going to feel sick or have time. But they want to vote in person because they want their vote to be part of the initial tally.
They can change their mind.
So we have a plan in place, and we're checking signatures of the absentees as they come in. Yep. So we have a team checking signatures, and then the commissioners have to confirm anything that we don't think match. And usually, again, I think that was like only 20 out of the 16,000 absentees that we got in the primary didn't have matched signatures. Right. And with the cure process now, that will probably resolve a lot of those as well.
If there is a large in-person turnout, are polling sites going to be able to stay open until everyone has cast their vote on election day?
If in line by nine, you're fine. That's the rule. So 9 p.m. is the end of voting, but the rule is that we, at 9 o'clock, an election inspector will go to the back of the line, stand there, not admit anybody that comes in after they're in line, unless we get a court order saying to stay open. But
the same rule follows for early voting also.
Yeah.
The time frames when we close at 3 on the weekends and 6 or 8 during the week, the rule still follows for that.
We don't have a special rhyme for that, though.
We
haven't come up with that yet. But when a polling site comes to their close, the election inspector will go to the end of it. And if you're in your line by the time the polling closing hour happens, then you will be able to cast your vote.
Thank you. Do you see this as an opportunity, this whole COVID situation, as an opportunity to push for the no fault, no excuse mail-in ballots for New York State?
Well, you know, what is the old, opportunity is a crisis. There's a saying about that every crisis is an opportunity. Last year, the legislature already passed the first step of the constitutional amendment to remove excuse-based absentees. They have to pass it next year, and then it will be before the voters to decide whether they want that or not. I personally have always been in favor of no excuse absentees. I feel like you shouldn't have to make a choice of, if you want, you know, there's a lot of things that our absentee system used to not take into account. Shift workers, daycare, all of these other things. It would only say that if you were physically present in the county, you had to vote. And
you had to specify when you applied for an absentee back. When I first started.
Yep.
It went beyond that you had to tell us where you were going, the dates you were going to be gone, and the reason why.
Yeah, I'm always for anything that can give more choice to the voters. Early voting, no excuse absentees, eventually same day registration as well. These are the things that will bring us in more in line with what other states have and give us that opportunity. It means a lot more flexibility of boards, and we need funding. That is something that we always stress, that the state should be providing funding. The federal government should be providing funding for this, but the voters should get the choice. That's my opinion anyways.
All right. So this is somewhat repetitive, but I wanted to make sure it got answered. Are there holes in the mail-in voting process? How can voters be sure that their vote is safe when they choose to vote by mail?
So, I mean, like anything, like any piece of mail, the risk of it being delayed or not getting to us in time is always a problem. So the first thing you can do is act early, get it done now. Then we have plenty of time to figure out what happened to the mail if it doesn't get here or not, or for you to just get another ballot. And because we do that, we allow you to request another ballot. The biggest thing is to use that absentee ballot tracker. That's your first thing. That's most people are going to be assured that they got their vote and that we got their application. So that is a way to make sure. And then again, if something comes up where the absentee ballot tracker does not show them on the tracker and it's early voting or election day voting, they can go and vote in person as well. But if you live out of town, if you're getting your ballot mailed to you to Florida, or if you're a college student or something like that, you really need to act now, because that's where the holes come in. It's where we have to mail it and it takes 4 or 5 days to get to you. And then you have to postmark it by election day. If you're not acting early, if you're waiting till late October, if you're waiting to Halloween, you're going to be in a lot more trouble than somebody who's locally.
Especially students that are overseas, it could take a month to get to them and then have it returned to us in time for us to count it.
Absolutely. So I don't know if there's anything we haven't really touched on, but I'm going to just plug the website again while we wait for another question. Onvote.net. You can check your absentee ballot. You can apply for an absentee ballot. You can find your election day polling place. You can get your sample ballot. You can see if you're registered to vote, and you can register to vote. October 9th is the deadline for registering to vote. October 27th is the deadline for postmarking an application, though we suggest not doing it later than October 20th. November 3rd is the deadline to postmark a ballot, though we suggest no later than October 27th, or consider dropping them off in person. Oh, we didn't talk about the in-person drop-offs of absentees. We have a ballot boxes going out to every polling place and every early voting. You saw that in the picture there that I shared earlier. That we're under a governor's executive order to give ability for people to drop it off without having to wait in line. So these ballot boxes will be at the check-in stations of every early voting and regular election day and in our lobby. You can drop it off now in our lobby if you want to bypass the post office. Starting early voting on October 24th, you can just go right by the line and drop off the absentees. And then also on election day as well. And I did see one question in the chat box there about are early voting ballots counted on election day? Yes. Early voting and election day ballots will be part of our unofficial election night results on our website, onvote.net. They start coming in around 10 o'clock that night. So early voting should be up early, the first, so that'll be up around 9:30. And then 10 o'clock, the election day results will be coming in as they drive those cards physically back to our office, because nothing is done over the internet. Nothing, right. No vote.
If there's questions asked regarding what are the results on early voting, we do not give out results for early voting, not until they're start to count them on election night after 9 o'clock.
In fact, we can't even start by law tabulating those till 8 o'clock on election night.
Correct.
We can't put those cards in a machine and start processing them until 8 o'clock, and we can't release them till 9 o'clock. It usually takes us till 9:30. I guess there's one more question. See if I can get that in. Or we're at 9 o'clock. So should we end now, Emily?
We can just do that quickly.
Okay. Have you generally thought of folks who have no transportation or ready access to the internet to serve this group of citizens to ensure they have a voice? Many local folks are disenfranchised. Well, I mean, that's what the absentee ballot process is for, right? I mean, that now you can get a ballot mailed to your house. I think once we get no excuse absentees done in the constitutional amendment next year, we may look at mailing out ballots to every individual in the state. But before we do that, we have to make sure our registration system is up to date, and that we're not quite there yet. So automatic voter registration that was passed and online voter registration that was passed, that is going to come online in the next 2 to 3 years, that will help us do that. And so then maybe we can join Colorado, Oregon, and California in mailing ballots out to everybody.
All right. Please join me in thanking Dustin and Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes.